Radio Influence. The future is now.
Introducing the world's heavyweight champion, the Crusher.
You're listening to Crush Performance with the Crusher, Jeff Crushell. Get in on the talent grid and follow him on Twitter at Jeff Crush. Now, here he is, the Crusher.
And welcome to Crush Performance, everybody. I am Jeff Kershaw, and we are your weekly source for performance information. Today, a really big show as we look back on some of the guests we've had over this last year and over the past couple of years as we set the tone for what's going to be a fantastic 2017. And so to help everybody get in the right place, in the right mindset, and thinking about the right things as we head into the new year, I wanted to go back and talk about one of our top priorities in human performance. That's rest and recovery. And inside of rest and recovery, there is an all-important factor that influences absolutely everything we do, which is sleep. We're going to talk about sleep science with one of the world's top experts. I also want to get into the impact of vision and how vision can actually influence what you do and certainly how you do it. This idea of self-selection and moving and gravitating towards sports and activities, even jobs and endeavors that you're more prone or more apt to have success in, this whole idea of self-selection is really important. And vision plays a role here, certainly in general life, but also in sport. We're going to talk to some of the world's top experts when it comes to sport vision. And I also want to get into a great conversation we had earlier in the year with Dr. Jacques Dallaire, that is useful in absolutely everything we do. It's what should you be focusing on when you're going into a performance environment or just on a daily basis. There are some serious ins and outs here. And if you're thinking the right way, if you follow this advice, you certainly are going to have a higher chance of success. Now, when it comes to overall health and wellness, this has been one of our real pet projects over the last couple of years. We're looking at the influence of diet and exercise on general health, and we're also looking at the impact that sugar has had, not just on our performance in sport, in business, at school, or whatever we do, but also on the general population in terms of obesity and diabetes, and now what we know about degenerative brain diseases as well. The idea of sugar. Our war on sugar will continue with a vengeance into the new year. I want to set the tone again with Dr. Yanni Friedhoff, who is one of the, outspoken freedom fighters for overall health and wellness and control of the food industry. And I wanted to finish this review show off with Crush favorite, the coach of champions, Jim Fannin, who has given us incredible advice, insights, and what I think might be some of the greatest advice we've ever received on the show. And I want this to be what you take into the new year, along with all the other great information we'll be sharing today. So let's get after it. Right after the break, we'll kick it off looking at sleep science for performance, vision, and what you should be focusing on if you're going to succeed at, well, whatever it is you're trying to accomplish right here on Crush Performance. Stick around. Crush Performance, your weekly source for sport performance and athletic development information. If you're a serious athlete, a weekend warrior, parent, or coach, join us each week as we investigate the latest trends and research coming out of the sport performance world. We'll visit with top athletes, coaches, and sports scientists to keep you on the cutting edge and to find out what it truly takes to achieve human maximum performance. You can visit us online at crushperformance.com and Crush Performance Radio with me, Jeff Kershaw, can be found on iTunes, Stitcher, and at Radio Influence.
Find out what it takes to be a top performer. Get the Crush blog, podcast, and newsletter at crushperformance.com. Now, back to the show.
And welcome back to Crush Performance. I am Jeff Crushell, the con man behind the glass, keeping us on track. Hey, if you want to get to us, check out our website, crushperformance.com. The blogs, the videos, the podcast, and the social media are all there, so do check it out. You can also sign up to get our weekly newsletter as we endeavor to investigate what it takes to be great, because greatness is up for grabs no matter what you're doing and how far you want to go with it. We'll also wage war on the sugar industry. We know weight management is going to be one of the biggest topics moving forward. It's one of the biggest issues facing mankind at this point in time, and we're going to look at how you can tackle it personally. We're also going to look at what it takes to achieve. Earlier in the year, we had a discussion about the most important aspects of performance. And
Without question, rest and recovery is the number one priority. Whenever we build a program for sport, for students, for business, we look at how much rest you can get over a period of time. And inside of that rest and recovery, the number one priority is sleep. Research shows us that about 30% of the population isn't getting enough sleep for a number of reasons. The commute, technology, overscheduling, and it's a big problem. We were lucky enough to speak with world-renowned sleep expert Dr. Charles Samuels from the Center for Sleep and Human Performance to discuss what is going on, why we're losing sleep, and his number one issue is technology. Listen to this.
The biggest issue now with athletes is technology. I'm absolutely adamant about athletes putting their phones away at 8 o'clock at night, and you can just imagine the pushback that we get. But I had to give a talk at the National Sports School recently, and you know, I was absolutely adamant with the parents and the teachers that you're never going to win if these kids are on their phones until bedtime. It's not going to work because it gets in the way of the kid getting their sleep. There are two things that go on. One is the light itself that's emitted off the screen will affect melatonin secretion, which needs to be rising as we go to bed. So our dim light melatonin onset is somewhere in the zone for a neutral sleeper of around 6 to 8 p.m. So if you're in a brightly lit environment in that early evening, it actually does dampen your melatonin release. And so that does affect sleep. And then the other factor, which is actually in my mind more important, it's the interaction with the device. The activity stimulates the brain, and that does affect the brain's ability to sleep and the quality of sleep.
So there you go. If you have young kids you're battling with in terms of technology, the cell phones, the smartphones, there's some great advice and also some support to back up your position. Turn the phones off. There is no way you can achieve top performance if you're on your phones, working away, playing games before you go to sleep. It just can't happen. Another big issue that we have as people try to get in shape and cram in more work is losing sleep because they wake up early. Dr. Samuels also has an opinion there.
My biggest issue is the people who wake up at 4 a.m. to go to the gym with the impression that they're actually doing something good for themselves. If you're training on an unrested body, the nutrition will have a limited impact in achieving the end goal of recovery in terms of muscle building, etc. As you restrict sleep, reduce the number of hours per day that you require, or you disrupt sleep, you do affect the body's ability to efficiently use the calories that you're taking in and build muscle and recover from injuries, etc. So that's really important. That lack of sleep undermines the immune system, and we know this for sure. And it undermines cognitive functioning. We know this for sure. And then we also know that glucose and insulin regulation is affected by simply reducing sleep. You know, you could have normal, good sleep, but not enough. And you could have enough sleep that's not good quality. Those are sort of the two ways that we look at it.
So do not wake up early. Do not sacrifice your sleep for anything. It is priority number one. If you're a performer at the C-level of a corporation, if you just have a busy job working 10, 8 hours a day, if you're looking to maximize your marks at school or trying to maximize your performance in sports, you have to get your sleep. So what do? Listen, there are strategies for getting enough sleep. If you really are having problems, you need to go see somebody like Dr. Samuels and address your sleep issues. There's a lot of very, very interesting strategies for helping you out there. And there's a lot of reasons you might not be getting sleep, but here's one of them. And it comes down to simple planning.
Number one, you have to figure out how much sleep you need to function normally, not what you get, but what you need, and multiply that per day by 7 days and look at how many hours of sleep do you need a week, and then come up with a strategy to get as close as possible as you can within the confines of your life. What I learned from working with athletes and groups of athletes and coaches and whatnot is that you had to be flexible, and the amount of travel that goes on, certainly in things like in sports like hockey and baseball, because the number of games per season is ridiculous. Point being, we have to be flexible. When you're dealing with high-volume travel in sports like hockey, you have to talk about getting a core amount of sleep that gives the athlete the real rest they need, and then making up sleep throughout the days or the weeks or weekends. And we come up with strategies for doing that.
Make sure you're getting enough sleep. Schedule it in. That's the key to everything. And shut off the cell phone, shut off the computers 2 hours before bed. It's absolutely critical. That was Dr. Charles Samuels from the Center for Sleep and Human Performance from Calgary. He also has worked very, very closely with our Olympic teams in their sleep periodization programs, and it's been all powerful as we've seen with our Olympic success. So also on the performance side, we started investigating vision. It's something that's been pretty intriguing for me. Could vision play a role in which sport you play or what job you pursue? Absolutely. The average vision is 20/20. The upper limits of human performance in terms of vision is 20/8. Some of the baseball players and football players that we've worked with have been tested at 20/9. And to give you a perspective, what the average person would see clearly at 3 meters, the person with 20/9 would see clearly at 9 meters. It's a big difference. So can it influence what you do? The answer is yes. And we were lucky enough to speak with one of the world's top sports vision experts, Dr. Daniel Levy from the Harvard Medical School, about how vision really works.
Your eyes and your brain have to work together. If your brain only can see 20/20, I can't do anything in your eye to get you to see better than 20/20. If your brain can see 20/10 and your eyes limit you to 20/20, we have a lot of work we can do to improve you to 20/10. We're not really looking for a vision at 20/20 at the elite athletes level. We're looking for vision much better than that. And what's interesting is each sport has a different requirement. Well, that's not a big surprise. Archers need to have good vision. The softball team had to have good vision. But boxers don't have to have good sharp vision. They have to have other attributes of the visual system to succeed in what they're doing. So what you want to do with your vision is key.
So vision is very important, and yes, it can influence what you do. If you have great vision, you're probably going to gravitate to an activity, sport, or job that requires good vision. It's going to allow you to be good at that job. If you don't have great vision, or if you have tunnel vision, well, you probably gravitate towards a sport or an activity that suits your vision. Again, self-selecting into a sport that suits your own abilities. Now, can you improve your vision? Well, yes, absolutely, through corrective devices like contact lenses or glasses. Now, a word of caution from Dr. Levy and his group, if you're in a sport, say like baseball, where vision is very important, tennis, golf, vision, believe it or not, is very important, football, receiving. If you're in a sport where vision is very important, you have to be very cautious about corrective surgery. Corrective surgery really can only take you so far, where a corrective device can probably get you on the higher end of visual performance. So it's something to consider if you're looking at getting corrective surgeries. Now, when it comes to certain sports and certain jobs where vision is very important, the decisions you make and the reactions you make are going to rely very, very heavily on the information that's going into your brain. When the ball is put into action, when the puck is dropped, 80% of your mind is really dedicated to processing visual information. If you're not getting good information into your brain, you can't make great decisions. You can't have great reactions. So when we work with people in the workforce or in sports, we really pay a lot of attention to making sure they get the best visual opportunities possible. There are drills you can do that will help you understand how to use your peripheral vision or to be aware of your peripheral vision. There are drills that will help you concentrate and use your eyes more effectively. There are ideas and strategies that we use to put a body into good positions. You know, we talk about hockey, for example. You know, the scouts or the coaches will say, boy, he really sees the ice well. Or a player in the field, football, he sees the field well. Or a baseball player, he really sees the ball well. Well, it has a lot to do with a performance position that allows you to really see everything that's within your environment. And that's very, very important. And believe it or not, very trainable. And then there's this other aspect of visual performance, and that's the idea of brain processing speed. Can we influence brain processing speed? Well, there's research out there that says absolutely, it's very possible. It probably has more to do with where you're focusing, what you're watching, and what kind of information you put into your brain, and that has a lot to do with where you're looking. And of course, that body position we talked about. Joan Vickers out of the University of Calgary discovered something she called the quiet eye phenomenon. She looked at, hey, why are some athletes better at free throws, at putting in golf, at hitting a base, at saving a puck, save percentages. And she looked at where these athletes were looking when they went into action. And there was a distinct difference between the top performers and average performers. And it came down to where they were looking and how they controlled their gaze patterns during the activity. So we know that vision can be all powerful. It's very trainable. And a lot of the drills you have out there maybe aren't necessarily going to help you see any better, but they certainly will help you understand where you need to be looking and how to focus and stay on task for a certain amount of time, which is imperative in virtually every sport and activity that we do. It's not so much what we see, how we process what we see, and how we process what we see is really depending on what we're looking at. A lot of us look, but we don't really see. So I'm going to challenge you next time you're walking down the street or next time you're walking through your house to really look at the details of what you're doing and in the environment around you and just understand how much you're missing. Then apply that to everything you do in life and see how powerful it can be. We know for a fact it's changed the career paths of many athletes we work with. It's also helped people out in the workforce. So give it a try. And there's lots of research online. You could check our website as well. We have lots of links on sports vision. Another all-powerful area of performance is the mental game. We talk about it a lot on this show, and we're lucky enough to be tied in with some of the world's top experts. Your approach and your mindset going into any task can ultimately determine the outcome even before you start. If you go in with the right mindset, the right approach, the chances of success are much higher. We've seen it time and time again. We've talked about it endlessly on the show. And we were lucky enough earlier in the year to talk with world-renowned human performance expert, Dr. Jacques Dallaire of Performance Prime, about what we should be focusing on and what we need to be thinking about as we go into a task, as we're executing a task, and what we should do after a task. A big mistake that the majority of people are making is they're focusing on the wrong things before they start and while they're doing the task. Focusing on the result is not the right approach.
You know, some people sometimes misunderstand what I'm saying. They think that because I don't put an emphasis on results, that I don't think results are that important. Nothing could be further from the truth. I can tell you, as a fact, that a number of my clients, results for them represent the difference between living and dying, either themselves or the people they are charged to protect. So results are really, really important to me. The question becomes, how do you generate, how do you make the best results possible? And I can tell you this, never once has focusing on and worrying about the result made the result any better. The only thing that makes results better is a more effective focus on the execution of the process of whatever we're involved in. That's what affects results. Wishing results were better, worrying about results being better, never make them better. In fact, it makes it harder to accomplish them because we're actually focused on the wrong thing.
So there's Dr. Jacques Dallaire of Performance Prime telling us without question, without hesitation, and with some serious authority, if we look at his background, focusing on the results is not the right approach. The results will be the outcome of the process. If we go into an endeavor with the right mindset, with a plan, and focus on executing that plan and sticking to our game plan, the chances of success are much greater than focusing on the results, worrying what the outcome might be, and then not being happy if it doesn't turn out the way we want. Certainly, you look at results to learn. Look back, learn, throw it away, and plan your next approach. Three great words that we've learned over the years. And this comes from the late and great Harvey Dorfman, who I spent many, many years working with. He pulled me aside one day and said, Crusher, there are three words that can be all powerful if you use them properly. And I've shared them with as many athletes and people as I can. And they're approach, result, and response. Go into an endeavor with an approach, a planned attack. Go into it with conviction and confidence. Whether it's right or wrong, stick to your plan. Then, with your approach, you'll get a result. The results, majority of the time, are entirely out of your control. All you can do with the result is look back and learn from it. Whether it's good or bad, you learn. That result will determine your response. How you respond to your result will determine your next approach. It's a beautiful cycle. Approach, result, response, all powerful. Try to incorporate those three words into your daily life and things could get a lot easier. Give it a try. I have seen it work. Well, hey, let's cut out for a break. This is the Crush Year in Review. We're looking back on things that we learned this past year. And when we come back, let's take a look at what we learned about dieting and eating properly. We asked the questions, what's more important for weight control, exercise or controlling your diet? And what's the most important thing you can do for your kids, your employees, your athletes? We'll find out after the break right here on Crush Performance.
Radio Influence brings you the best in digital media broadcasting. When it comes to sports, we've got experts like national sports radio host Rich Herrera, the fabulous Sports Babe, and former Major League Baseball manager Kevin Kennedy. Want a good laugh? Then go on the beach with Pants and Roller Girl, or just LOL with Nancy Alexander. And when it comes to real life, Dangerous Conversation with Scott Ledger and Beyond the Badge with Vincent Hill will make you think. When it comes to what you want, Radio Influence has you covered.
Find our programming on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and RadioInfluence.com.
This is Crush Performance. If you have questions, comments, or smart remarks, write to us at CrushPerformance.com.
Welcome back to Crush Performance. It is our year in review. We're setting the stage as we look at what it takes to achieve greatness and the things you need to know to kick off the new year. If you want to get to us, please do. It's crushperformance.com, social media, the blogs, video, everything is there. And you can also sign up for our weekly Crush newsletter. Each week we send out great information to help you achieve and perform at the top of your game. I want to get into now the interesting topic of specialization. I want to talk about diet and what we're supposed to do when it comes to nutrition. And I want to finish off this segment and today with what we think might be one of the most important things you can do for your employees, your athletes, your students, and certainly your children. When it comes to setting the stage for success, there's a war raging, and the war is about, should we specialize early and focus solely on one endeavor, or should we have a period of selection and really test the waters and give ourselves a ton of experiences out there? Well, there's a school that says specialization is certainly the way to go, but there's a lot of data that points the other way. Specialization early, yes, will help you in the short term, but does it really help you in the long term? Well, earlier in the year, we spoke with David Epstein, the author of The Sports Gene, about his great book and how dropout rates are increasing, burnout is becoming a problem, overuse, injuries. Is specialization important for success, or should we let kids test the waters and then choose their endeavors?
And I don't think it should always necessarily be looked at as only a bad thing. We don't want sports participation to drop, but if it's people finding a niche that fits them better, you know, like grit is kind of a buzzword now in a lot of sports performance, desire or ability to persevere and overcome challenges. And I think we should add fit to that word. You know, I've been writing about this lately. The sports science shows that at least through age 12, kids should have what's called a sampling period where they try a range of different sports. One, they gain a range of different skills, but also some of them find the activity that best fits both their physiology and their psychology. And so sometimes in some countries that have one sport that's so much more popular than all the others, you probably push some people toward that sport without a sampling period when they really could have more success in some other sport.
So I think that it's pretty safe to say that sampling a multitude of activities is really important, especially in the developmental ages. And then you could specialize later as your interest grows and your skills develop. When we talk about performance, certainly rest and recovery is the first building block that we design every program around. It doesn't matter whether we're talking about sports, scholastics, music, or even business. Rest and recovery is the number one priority. And we've already mentioned that sleep inside of rest and recovery is the number one priority. Second, however, is nutrition. We certainly are what we eat. And the industry is overloaded with misinformation, diets, diet schemes, and it's very difficult to understand what you should be doing. Well, we had a chance to talk to a number of experts over this last year, and the overwhelming theme was get back to the fundamentals. Certainly, there's a science when it comes to nutrition, but it all starts with basic fundamentals. What you should eat, when you should eat, and how much you should eat. We talked with Brian St. Pierre of Precision Nutrition about the fundamentals and portion control.
People will jump right ahead to the really cool, sexy, fancy stuff, and then kind of almost miss out on the basic fundamentals first. Like, you're not going to become a high-level executive or performer or athlete without mastering fundamentals for a good chunk of time first. So I'm a big, big advocate of mastering the fundamentals first. So that would be something as simple as making sure you get adequate amounts of protein, adequate amounts of carbs, you know, fat, fruits and vegetables. So we really emphasize having people eat pretty balanced meals. And we use what's called like our hand-sized portions. So basically, we use hands to reference your portion size. So it's like a palm for protein, fist for vegetables, a cupped hand for carbs, and a thumb for fat. We do this for two reasons. One, it's portable, right? Your hands go with you anywhere you go. You can use them at restaurants, social events, at home. You don't have to do any complicated math or bust out a scale or anything. And two, it's scalable. So generally, people who are bigger have bigger hands. Therefore, they get to eat more food. People who are smaller have smaller hands and therefore eat less food. Obviously, there are exceptions, but it's just a good general rule of thumb. And so for men, we do two servings of each of those things at each meal. And for women, it's one serving of each of those things, approximately. And it just gives you an awesome framework to build out that foundation. And you can adjust from there based on goals. You want to build muscle or, you know, boost performance, or if you want to lose fat, it's a framework from which to easily adjust and work from.
There you go. That was Brian St. Pierre from Precision Nutrition. You could check them out, precisionnutrition.com. They've helped a lot of people achieve their weight management and performance goals. They work with a lot of professional athletes, a lot of corporate executives, and a lot of people just like you and me trying to achieve the goals. But the simple fundamentals are certainly the key here. And I love the idea of using your hand as a portion guide. Absolutely beautiful. Your portable portion guide. Take it with you everywhere you go. But it makes a lot of sense, especially when we look at the balance of foods you need to eat over the course of the day. The balance of carbohydrates, protein, and fats, it's fairly consistent. Now you got to back and start thinking about nutrient timing, when you eat, how much you eat over the course of the day, and it all comes together. One of the big problems is food has become so available, abundant, so cheap, and so full of empty calories. The fast food industry and the instant food industry is really causing a problem, and it shows up. Research has shown us that we've cut fat consumption by a third since the mid-70s. The number of workout centers have tripled in the last 10 years, yet obesity and overweight has doubled and tripled in the meantime. We have diets. We have low carb, no carb, high protein, no fat, the beach, the paleo, the vegan diet. What are you supposed to do? Right now, as overweight and obesity has tripled, the diet industry takes in about $60 billion a year in North America alone. So what are we supposed to do? Well, we had a chance to talk with Dr. Yanni Friedhoff about his new book, The Diet Fix, Why Diets Fail and How to Make Yours Work. The fact is, diets don't work. In fact, stats have shown that 90% of all diets fail for a number of reasons. So what do you do about calories? Well, listen, the body is efficient. And while exercise becomes very important, modifying what you eat is the most important factor. Here's Dr. Friedhoff.
Yeah, I mean, the fact is that if we burned huge numbers of calories through exercise, I don't think we would be here as a species, because up until very, very, very recently, there just weren't very many calories out there to eat. We grew up, so to speak, in an evolutionary perspective through times of extreme dietary insecurity. And so if we burned a whole pile of calories, you know, walking around and doing our thing, we wouldn't have been able to hunt and capture enough calories to survive. Our bodies are very efficient. They just don't burn as many calories as would be fair. And we also, as human beings, have this failing where we believe once we exercise, we deserve more calories. We deserve to eat better. And we will often eat because we exercised, which is why on paper, exercise absolutely can burn calories. But in practice, it doesn't tend to lead people to weight loss. Most experts will agree 80% of a person's modifiable weight is modifiable on the basis of dietary choices, only about 20% on the basis of fitness choices. A lot easier to lose weight in your kitchen than in your gym.
That's part of a conversation we had earlier in the year with Dr. Yanni Friedhoff. He's an absolute must listen to, a Crush favorite for certain. You can check him out and follow him in his blog, Weighty Matters. It's at weightymatters.ca. He calls a spade. He's one of the freedom fighters, that's for sure, when it comes to handling and trying to get control of big food, obesity, and he's also a big proponent of battling sugar, which is one of our mandates. And listen, public enemy number one right now, if we were going to choose a focal point, somewhere to attack, it'll be the sugar industry. Sugar is public enemy number one right now. It's not the fats by any means. Certainly you have to eat the good fats. You have to pay attention to how much fat you're consuming, but it's not the big issue. The big issue is how much sugar we're eating on a daily basis, and it's alarming. We're going to be talking about that more this year, but understand that exercise is very important. Don't underestimate the power of exercise. It's critical for overall health, to be certain, but it's not going to be the key to managing your weight. The key to managing your weight is going to be in your kitchen. You need to cook. You need to get in there and control the foods that go into your body on a daily basis. And in his book, he outlines some simple procedures that people have used to great success to not just cut weight, but keep it off for extended periods of time. In the weight loss registry, some of these people have lost 10s, 20, 30 pounds, and kept it off for up to 25 years. So it's very, very effective. The book is worth the read, and following Dr. Yanni Friedhoff most certainly can clear the air and some of your questions when it comes to diet, the nutrition world, and what you need to do to get a grasp of your weight. The body's incredibly efficient at storing energy. So if you manage what goes into your body, you got a good chance of managing your weight and your health. It's been shown that to burn off the amount of energy in one little Smartie or M&M, you have to walk aggressively the length of one football field. Think of that for a second. One little piece of candy, the length of a football field. So keep that as a perspective as you move forward, as you sit down to your next snack. All right, to finish off the show, I wanted to talk about the mental game, because going into 2015, our approach and our mental mindset is going to be all important. And a Crush favorite in the past has been Jim Fannin, the coach of champions. He shared a lot of his great information with us, and he's a great friend of the show. And I wanted to get into 3 points that he made, and I wanted to finish today with what I think might be one of the most important pieces of advice we've gotten over all the years. On the quest to achieve greatness, Jim has shared with us a bunch of his concepts and ideas for improving performance. And one of the great ones was the 5-second rule. Here's how it works.
But the thing, the 5-second rule, you're only as great as the 5 seconds after every shot, after every pitch. What does that mean? That means if you make a bad pitch, if you hit the ball out of bounds, in golf, you act like nothing happened. That's one. Two, you could play a mental mulligan and shut your eyes and replay it. You've got time in golf the way you wanted it. And three, where's my next target? But you don't roll your eyes, blow your breath, throw down your glove on the mound. Because if you do that, you've gone into the past. If you've gone into the past, you have no chance at playing in the zone. Zero.
Some more great advice on how you can maximize your performance from the mental standpoint. And it's all powerful. It will influence everything you do, to be certain. You know, one of the things we see in sports, and not just in sports, but also in business and recruiting right now, is this concept of character. You know, everybody talks about grit and character and how important it is. Well, they're picking character over skills right now, because skills and talent can be developed. But those innate and intangible traits like character that are very, very difficult to develop become all important. Body language is one of those things. How you carry yourself after a rough outing or a defeat or a bad day, that is very, very important. But how you react and come back is also as showing in terms of your character. And Jim asked the question one day, if you were a tree, what kind of tree would you be? Would you want to be a palm tree or an oak tree? There's a hidden message here. Have a listen.
I want everyone to learn how to be a palm tree in a hurricane. Palm tree is the coolest plant on the planet. It relaxes, it absorbs the negativity, it bends, and then when the hurricane blows itself out, it pops up and says, "Hey, sunshine, how you doing?"
Nice.
So we need to learn how to be a palm tree when things don't go our way. You can be an oak tree every now and then, don't get me wrong. You know, every now and then you need to be an oak tree. But let's face it. There's no oak trees on the beach. There's a reason for that.
There you go. I thought that was a pretty cool analogy. He wants everybody to learn how to be a palm tree, the coolest plant on the planet. I get what he's saying there for sure. Think about the last time you faced adversity and you tried to battle through it, or did you flex and work your way around it? Hey, there's a lot to be learned here. I've seen this at work with athletes. I've seen this at work with top executives when it comes to business. And it's a practiced art form. It certainly is something that you need to work at over and over again. And lastly, if you're going to have a positive influence on the people around you, help them develop and achieve their goals, what do you think would be one of the most important things you could do? Certainly, you want to provide mentorship and guidance. You want to create an environment where people are comfortable and have the resources they need to succeed. But there's one underlying concept that I think is overlooked all too often. One of the greatest things you can ever do for your children is help them to become decision makers.
And I think for the parents listening, if I had one goal for a parent to give to their children, turn them into decision makers. Your kids, they're only as good as what they think when you're not there. And in order to be a decision maker, you have to pay the consequences of your decision. So that means you need to let your kids fail. Not on big things and not on harmful things, but you let them make a decision. They pick the wrong one, they got to pay the price. You know, and it's taking a cell phone away. It's saying you can't go out and sticking to it. Parents need to be coaches, mentors, teachers, and guides, and not best friends.
And there you go from Jim Fannin, what I think is some of the greatest advice we've ever had on the show in our 10 years. And this has been 2014 in review, things that we've learned over this last year to set the tone for the upcoming year. And we're really looking forward to it as we explore talent development and what it takes to acquire expertise. We're going to look at specialization and the impact of specializing early, or should we specialize late? We're also going to wage war on the sugar industry. Boy, I'm telling you right now, public enemy number one for me is is sugar. Let's get it under control. Let's understand it and let's figure out how we can work it into our daily lives. And we're also dedicated to helping this next generation achieve right here on Crush Performance. The podcast of today's show will be posted on our website, crushperformance.com. Hey, follow us on Twitter at Jeff Crush. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next week.
Radio Influence brings you the best in digital media broadcasting. When it comes to sports, we've got experts like national sports radio host Rich Herrera, the fabulous Sports Babe, and former Major League Baseball manager Kevin Kennedy. Want a good laugh? Then go on the beach with Pants and Roller Girl, or just LOL with Nancy Alexander. And when it comes to real life, Dangerous Conversation with Scott Ledger and Beyond the Badge with Vincent Hill will make you think. When it comes to what you want, Radio Influence has you covered. Find our programming on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and RadioInfluence.com.